Praise the Lord. Can I get a little more volume on the... Praise God. It's good to be here on a Wednesday night. And thank Brother Grissom for allowing us this opportunity, amen, to talk about something that is very dear to my heart, and I trust that it is yours also. And that is the coming of the Lord. There are many things regarding the second coming, and we're not going to be able to cover very much in a very short time, but we're going to introduce you tonight to one aspect of the end time that I think is probably very in people's minds, and I wanted to get down close so that we can just kind of share and communicate. You may have questions, and if you do, we'd like for you to raise your hand. And if you have a question that we can answer from the Word of God, we will try to do so. But we want to talk to you tonight about an aspect of the end time that sometimes is frightening to some people, and then on the other hand, we know that we ought not fear anything that is coming upon the world, because the Lord, can everybody see? This chart is rather difficult probably from those of you that are sitting toward the back to see it, but we're going to be talking about the tribulation period and things that are coming upon the world. And of course, our hope is that Jesus Christ is coming back, that He is coming to redeem His people and take us out of this world. Because we know that in the last days, tribulous times shall come, that there will be very difficult days ahead of us. And I'd like for you to begin tonight from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, we're going to begin there with verse number 1. And Paul's writing says this, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren," notice he speaks of they, and then he said, "but ye, brethren," speaking to the church, "are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of the light and the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Everybody say amen. You may be seated. "That we are not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation." So, what is the difference between wrath and tribulation? Some use those two terms interchangeably as if they were synonymous. but they are not synonymous. That we are not appointed unto wrath. The wrath of God will come upon all men who are unregenerate. All men who have rejected the plan of salvation. That have refused to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God is going to judge the earth in righteousness. But Jesus used the word tribulation a number of times. And I want us to look there at the very outset, the meaning of this word tribulation. Because it comes from a Greek word, thlipsis, which may also be translated, in addition to being translated as tribulation or affliction, it occurs 20 times in the New Testament. And it conveys the idea of pressure, affliction, anguish, persecution, and trouble. And it is most often used in a non-prophetic setting. That when we hear of tribulation, that most often it does not pertain to the prophecy of the coming of the Lord. However, there are 6 instances in the Bible, 1 in the Old Testament and 5 in the New, that do directly pertain to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. Amen. But we're not to fear. He said, but be of good cheer. Amen. Now that's not what we usually associate with tribulation. He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Don't be frightened. Don't draw back in panic. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. The church was born in a time of great tribulation. There was great tribulation in the time of the birth of the church. Not the great tribulation, which refers to the end time. But there was great tribulation in the book of Acts. You know, losing your head, how much greater can that get? Being boiled in oil, being stretched upon the rack, that throughout history, that the church has been persecuted. Jesus told us that we would be hated of all men for His name. In fact, let us go to the book of Matthew chapter 10, if you would. If you have your Bibles. Matthew 10, verse 22, Jesus speaking to His disciples says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And so we are admonished to endure tribulation, because we are going to be hated. That as apostolic believers, that we should not think that we can just blend in with the world and just become another church, just another denomination. Because we are called to be separated. Amen. Come out from among them and be separate. We're light in the midst of darkness. We're salt in the midst of corruption. And so we are contrasted with the things of the world. It's, he spoke of they, speaking of the world, and then he's, but ye brethren, you're not in darkness. You're the children of light. That day should not overtake you as a thief. That the coming of the Lord is not supposed to be something that sneaks up upon the church. Because the Bible says He's coming back for a people that's looking for His appearing. If you're looking for Him, it won't be a surprise when He comes. How many of you are really looking for Jesus? Live with expectancy. Live with anticipation. It's been over 2,000 years. And He hasn't returned yet. But He is coming again. Amen. Every prophecy in the Bible, amen, will one day be fulfilled. His word shall not return unto Him void. Every word spoken in minute detail is going to be fulfilled according to the Word of God. In verse 23, He said, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily, I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." That you will scarcely have went over all of the cities of Israel until the Son of Man come. You're not going to run out of places to flee. But neither shall you have to wait very long for Me to come back. He said, because ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel. Now, Israel's not a very big place. It's a very, very small nation. Especially compared to these United States of America in which we live. So a very, very tiny country, like the state of, smaller than the state of New Jersey. He said, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel, the Son of Man become. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciples that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? That those that are against the church, they're not going to speak well of the people of God. They're going to look for every occasion that they can. And let's don't give them reason, amen, to speak evil. Amen. The Bible says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let's not give them just cause, amen, to speak evil of God's people. Because they're just looking, they're itching for an opportunity to accuse you, to speak evil of you. Because the world hates the church. The world is looking for an opportunity to see you fail. And so if they call Jesus, they said He cast out devils by Beelzebub. If they said that of our Lord and Master, what shall they call those of His household? Verse 26, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Amen. One thing that should not be a secret, and that is Jesus is coming again. Amen. We need to tell the world that Jesus is coming again. That He's coming back with hope and salvation for those that are looking for Him. Those who have put their hope in Him. Those who have committed their salvation into Him. Amen. I'm glad that I've called upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Now in verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now who is that? It's God. Don't fear man what he can do to you. He can kill you. Jesus was very emphatic. Don't fear the ones that can kill the body. That we are not exempt from martyrdom. That the seeds of revival, amen, were watered with the blood of the martyrs. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, it says, who are these that are arrayed in white linen? Who are these? And what did the angel of the Lord tell John? These are they that lived in comfort, that lived in their sealed houses, that enjoyed pleasure, that were... No. That's not, amen, that multitude of every kindred, nation, and tongue that was standing before the throne of God. Amen. These are they that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You see, the blood of the martyrs won't save them. Giving your life will not save you. Amen. There's only one blood that will cleanse you from sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood will save you. It will wash you and make you whole. Amen. Let me move along here. And so this word, tribulation, Jesus said, and we've already stated in John 16 and 33, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We are, amen, children of God. And the Bible says, he that is born of God overcometh the world. Amen. So when you are born into the church, the body of Christ, you were born to be an overcomer. You're not born to be overcome, but you're born to be an overcomer. Amen. The world, amen, does not have power over you. The devil doesn't have power over you. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. Amen. We are born to be overcomers. We are going to overcome, amen, any situation and every situation that the devil flings toward us. Jesus spoke of tribulous times. The apostles spoke of tribulous times. Amen. I'm just foolish enough to believe that there are tribulous times ahead for the church. Amen. Because these are signs of the nearness of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know the coming of the Lord is in two phases, the catching away of the church and the judgment of the world. That he comes to take the church out of the world so that he might judge the world of unrighteousness. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. The same day that God spared Lot and saved, that same day God rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The same day. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. The same day that Noah went into the ark, amen, God rained upon the earth and caused the flood, amen, to swallow up the earth and all of its inhabitants, and everything that had the breath of life in it perished except those that were in the ark. Amen. There is a great judgment coming upon the world. But we're not appointed unto that judgment. We're not appointed unto the wrath. Amen. Because the Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? They are without hope. Amen. They are not, amen, given the same privileges as you and I. But judgment begins at the house of God. That God first separates the wheat from the tares. And he gathers the wheat into his barn. And the tares he binds up to be burned in a furnace of fire. And so there is judgment coming. But I want to be among those that make up the number of the saints of God. There's going to be a separation in the last days. Amen. There's going to be a separation. Amen. And so you might as well, amen, come out from among them and be separate, because there's going to be a separation. The wheat and the tares are going to be separated. And so we need, amen, to believe and trust in the things of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. God has given us, amen, a great hope. Amen. And knowing again that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And that's found in Romans 5, verses 3 through 4. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. And so we believe, amen, that God allows us to go through situations and to experience things, that we might be able to encourage others in the things of God. Amen. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope. Amen. There are only six verses of Scripture that can clearly be identified as, that are translated tribulation in a prophetic context. There are two others found in Romans 2:2-9 and 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6 that may have prophetic significance. But they do not have any bearing on the chronology of events of the end time. Moses said to Israel in Deuteronomy verse 4, this is going back to the Old Testament, chapter 4, verse 30, that Moses said to Israel, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days. So not only is there coming a time of travail and tribulation for the church, but Israel was warned by Moses in the book of Deuteronomy that in the latter days, that they would endure a time of tribulation. Now there are five very clear prophetic uses of the word tribulation as they pertain to prophecy. And four of those appear in the Gospels. The fifth one occurs in the book of Revelation. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, if you would, and Let's read a portion of Scripture there, what Jesus said concerning the time of tribulation. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now this corresponds with the seals of the book of Revelation. If you compare Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13 side by side, that you will find a correlation between the first seven seals of Revelation chapters 5 and 6 and these narratives of Jesus Christ. This particular discourse happened on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus was speaking with his disciples about the coming destruction of the temple upon the mountain. And he told them there would come a day that not one stone of that temple would be left standing upon another because of the judgment of God. And we know that within a generation, within a period of less than 40 years, it was fulfilled in 70 AD when Titus came and destroyed the temple. And so that this is the backdrop for this prophecy Jesus compared that event with the events concerning the end time. There are parallels between the judgment of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in 70 AD and the things that shall take place in the latter day. Now Jesus tells them that then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. That the greatest enemy of the church will be those within the church. That the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Amen. That those that claim to be Christians will betray one another and deliver one another up to be persecuted. Amen. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. That we're living in a day of falsehood. That false religions, false prophets are on the increase. That people are going after strange doctrines. But I believe with all my heart that those who remain founded, established upon this gospel, amen, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. We just need to hold fast to those foundational truths of the Word of God, because they never change. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. If you want to be ready to see Jesus, amen, you need, amen, to dwell in peace. Amen. God hates those who are talebearers. God hates those who sow division and strife in the body. Jesus prayed that we might be one. Amen. Unity is the most important thing in these latter days, because many shall be offended and shall betray one another. God forbid, amen, that we should turn on one another and betray one another when persecution comes. But persecution will separate those who really want to serve God and those that are just going through the motions. Those that are just pretending. Amen. The Bible says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Amen. Oh, I want to endure to the end. I want to keep preaching the gospel. I want to keep, amen, bearing testimony to the name of Jesus. Amen. We must continue. Amen. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap, if you what? If you faint not. How easy it is to just give up and give in. How easy it is to compromise rather than to remain steadfast. But he said, he that endures unto the end shall be saved. Not the one that starts out in the race, but the one that... How many intend to make it, amen, till Jesus comes? Amen. I want to keep serving until Jesus comes. Amen. For this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all nations. Amen. And then shall the end come. Amen. Jesus is going to come. Praise the Lord. When you therefore, verse 15 is a very important verse, critical. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now if you study the book of Daniel, Daniel speaks of a prince that will make a covenant for 7 years. And in the midst of the covenant, in the midst of the 7 years, he will break the covenant and cause the sacrifices and the oblations to cease. He will desecrate the temple. He will seat himself in the temple of God and proclaim that he is God. And he will set up an image of himself. And that image will speak. And men will bow down before that image and worship that image. And all who refuse to worship the beast and his image, or to take the mark of the beast, amen, they will be killed that refuse to worship him. Now Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and you sit, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now this speaks of the holy place, the temple. Now at that time that he was speaking, the temple was standing. That Herod had greatly enlarged the second temple that Zerubbabel had built, and made it a very beautiful and ornate building. And so they knew what the temple was. They knew the significance of the temple. But little did they, could they understand that within a generation that temple would be destroyed. He said, this generation shall not perish till all these things be fulfilled. And within a generation that temple was destroyed, just like Jesus said. And everything that Jesus prophesied will come to pass. Now all the things he spoke of did not come to pass in 70 AD. That no one set up an image of themselves or was worshipped as God. That the tribulation period did not commence in that particular period of time, even though there was a time of tribulation at that time. But he's speaking of a future tribulation, a future time that will precede the second coming. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down or take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Now we've spoken of tribulation. Now he speaks of a time of great tribulation. At that particular time that he speaks of in conjunction with Daniel's 70th week and the abomination of desolation, which as is not yet come to pass. So we're talking about in the future. And he said when that tribulation comes, it will be a tribulation like no other. Of all of the travails, of all the trouble that Israel has undergone and the world has undergone, there shall never be one like. But he said, I'm going to cut it short. It shall be cut short. Amen. For the elect's sake. And then he tells of false prophets and those that would say, lo, here is Christ, and lo, there. Now look at verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now this is an interesting phrase in verse 28. This is a Hebraic expression, an idiom that is unique to the Hebrew language. And what this means is when you see all of these signs coming to pass, that it will be like the eagles that are gathered to a carcass, that you will know by the eagles or the vultures as they circle that there's a dead body. These are signs. How can you find a dead thing? Look for the buzzards and you follow those signs and they'll lead you to the dead body. He is saying, when you see these things, you will know that my coming is at hand, that it's at the door. that it's like the fig tree that puts forth its leaves. You know that summer is nigh. But no man will know the day or the hour. But you will know that it is imminent, that it is coming at a very, very quickly. How quickly? It will happen just like that, as the lightning flashes across the sky. The second coming of the Lord is going to be in a twinkling of an eye. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed just like that. You're not going to have time to pray. You're not going to have time to get yourself ready. You've got to stay in a state of readiness. You've got to be ready. Amen, because it will happen just like that, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen, as lightning cometh out of the east, shineth in the west, so shall the coming of the Son. You see, the Bible says, behold, I come. He didn't say I come soon. It's been 2,000 years. That's not soon in anybody's book. Now, I know one day with the Lord's 1,000 years, 1,000 years with one day. But He didn't say I'm coming soon. He said I'm coming quickly. Quickly. It's going to be very quick. Very sudden. In the twinkling of an eye. Now, verse 29 is very important. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now when? Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, often people speak of the tribulation period as being synonymous with the 70th week of Daniel. You've heard that, the tribulation period. But Daniel's 70th week is a period of 7 years. Jesus said that the tribulation would be cut short. However long it is, it's going to be shortened. He did not say that He was going to shorten the 70th week. Nor does the tribulation begin at the beginning of the 70th week. Begins as a time of peace. Remember the Bible says, when they shall see peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh. That the first 3.5 years that Antichrist will be consolidating his power by conquering other nations, and as a result of those wars, there will be famine, there will be trouble, there will be economic crisis, but there will not be a time of travail for the elect of God. In fact, that they will be living in their house, there will be, Israel will be living in security in a land of unwalled villages. They will have a false sense of security. Amen. During this first 3.5 years. But in the middle of the week, He breaks that promise. He breaks His covenant, and He begins to persecute the people of God. Amen. That's what Revelation 12 is all about. And it lasts for 1,000, that period is 1,260 days that He will have power and authority, that He will rule for 1,260 days. It's given in three different ways in Daniel and the book of Revelation. It talks about 1,260 days. He talks about 42 months. And talks about a times and a time, a time, a times and a half time. So we're talking about 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. They are one and the same. Because 3.5 years is 42 months. And a Jewish month is approximately 30 days. They have a lunar calendar. So we're talking about prophetic, from a prophetic standpoint, 1,260 days is 42 months, 3.5 years. Now, that is the period of time when the Antichrist is in complete control. He breaks His covenant with the Jews, and He begins to persecute the elect of God. And the Lord said that He would cut that tribulation short. So it begins in the middle of the week. It's cut short, meaning that it ends sometime prior to the end of the week. So it's not 7 years, it's not even 3.5 years, but it's an indefinite period of time, a time that's cut short by the grace and the mercy of God, that we don't have any exact link for the great tribulation. But it is a period of time within the 70th week and after the treaty is broken in the middle of the week. Now, let's go on. Now, we've talked about the desecration of the temple in the middle of the week. And so, number one, the time of the great tribulation is when the abomination of desolation is set up. When's it set up? The middle of the week. So we know that the great tribulation begins in the middle of the week. Number two, in Matthew 24:21, that the word great appears before tribulation. And so the great tribulation speaks of a definite period, not just any tribulation, not just any time of travail or anguish, because we have, as a people, the church has gone through many periods of anguish, but the great tribulation is spoken of specifically in the context of the end time and in the context of Daniel's 70th week. That 8 verses later, that Jesus says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. So immediately after the great tribulation, shall the sun be darkened. The moon shall not give its light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now you read about that in Revelation chapter 6. With the opening of the sixth seal, that's when that takes place. So it's well before the opening of the seventh seal, before the seven trumpets sound, before the seven bowls are poured out. So see, there's a lot of events in the book of Revelation that will be fulfilled after the great tribulation is ended. So it does not extend to the end of the book of Revelation. Chronologically, it does not go to the end of the 70th week. It only goes to the time of the opening of the sixth seal. Because when that sixth seal is open, the Bible tells, let's go to Revelation 6. And see just what the Bible, how the Bible does describe that event. Revelation 6:12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Just like Jesus said in the Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 discourse. And when does this happen? Immediately after the great tribulation. The tribulation begins, the abomination desolation. It ends here at the sixth seal. Now there's something else that occurs here. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rock, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath. Now what the Bible says, that we're not appointed to what? We're not appointed to wrath. Now what do the great men of the earth fear is coming? That is imminent? God's wrath. Because they see him, and they say, hide us from the face of him. Now we know that the second coming consists of two phases. The catching away, we call that the rapture. Even the word rapture doesn't appear in the New Testament or the Old Testament for that matter. The doctrine of the resurrection is well documented. He that has part in the first resurrection, amen, upon him the second death has no power. And the Bible says that the rapture takes place at the first resurrection. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, and there shall we be with the Lord. So that the first resurrection, amen, is synonymous with the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church takes place at the first resurrection, when the righteous dead are raised up incorruptible. Amen. And so there's two phases: the catching away and then the judgment. The judgment of God is the wrath of God. Now this is what is meant. This is the first mention of wrath in the entire book of Revelation. The first time it is mentioned. That's because that it is imminent. The wrath of God begins with the trumpets, the seven trumpet judgments. It continues with the seven bowls, and it is consummated at the battle of Armageddon. That's the final act of God's wrath, is when he destroys the Antichrist, that the armies of the Antichrist are destroyed, the Bible says, by the brightness of his coming. Amen? And he establishes his rule upon the earth. So there are two phases, the catching away and the coming back. Now when Jesus Christ comes back in judgment at the battle of Armageddon, the Bible says he is riding on a white horse. And the saints of God are with him. And they are arrayed in white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. Amen? Praise the Lord. How many are with me? We're going to come back with the Lord. So when in the second phase of the coming of the Lord, he's coming back with the saints on a white horse. This setting shows him sitting upon a throne in judgment. They do not see him riding on a white horse. This is not the Battle of Armageddon, which is much later in the book of Revelation, which is at the end of the 70th week. Let me believe, understand what we're talking about. The Battle of Armageddon is at the end of the 70th week. It follows the 70th week and is the capstone of the wrath of God. It concludes, it brings to a consummation. All of God's judgment is consummated there at the Battle of Armageddon. This is the beginning of the wrath of God, which it takes a period of time. One of the trumpets takes 5 months just for that one trumpet to be fulfilled. And all of that within the space, remember the second half of Daniel only covers 3.5 years. So I can't tell you exactly how long the tribulation period is going to be, but it's going to be very short. Because why? Because we are, and Israel is, all of God's elect, amen, whether you're Jew or Gentile, amen, we are all saved by the same gospel. We're all saved by faith. Amen? That the Jews will one day embrace the same message that you and I embrace as a church. Hallelujah. As the elect of God. And he's going to cut the tribulation short for the elect's sake. Why? Because we belong to him. We're not appointed to wrath, but we're appointed to salvation. Praise God. And so he is seated on a throne. And it is, they fear the wrath of God. The very next thing that we see in chapter 7, I'm not going to read all the verses, but the next vision that John saw, he saw 144,000, 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel with a seal upon their forehead. Why? Because they are going to be protected by God during the trumpets. The trumpets are not for the church, but they're for Israel. these trumpet judgment, there is a call to repentance. And during the midst of this time of judgment upon the earth, the Lord is going to seal 144,000 Jews that will have a special protection that will not be harmed from the judgments that God is pouring out upon the earth. It doesn't mean that they have been filled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean they've been baptized in Jesus' name yet. But the Bible tells us later in chapter 14, we see those 144,000 on Mount Zion singing and worshiping the Lamb of God. But the Bible says they are a kind of first fruits unto the Lord. Because there shall be a great number, amen, that shall be converted, amen, in the millennial kingdom. And so the 144,000 are a kind of first fruits of the dispensation of the kingdom age. They're the first ones to accept Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible talks about the Spirit of God being poured out upon the house of David. Amen. And so those are Jews, the house of David. And these Jews shall one day experience the same wonderful, amen, salvation. Those that kept themselves pure, that did not compromise, amen, that kept themselves, amen. The Bible describes the 144,000 as a select group, amen, that God put His stamp of approval on, and that they are first fruits of the age to come. Amen. Now Jesus, of course, is the first fruits of this church. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Christ the first fruits, then they that, amen, that are Christ at His coming. So Jesus is the first fruits of the church, but the 144,000 are the first fruits of the kingdom age. Now immediately following that vision in chapter 7 of the Jews that are upon the earth during the time of God's wrath, we see another company. They're not in the earth. They're in heaven. They're before the throne of God. Verse 9, chapter 7. Amen. Now I get excited when I talk about, amen, this group of people. These are not Jews, but these are Jews and Gentiles. They're people of every nation, every kindred, every tongue. After these I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Amen. And look, drop down verse 14. I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. For he asked him, who are these? And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Now Jesus said that immediately after the tribulation of those days, speaking specifically of the great tribulation, amen, shall be the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. The sun would be darkened, the moon turned to blood, the stars of heaven will fall. That was in Matthew 24. We also read it here in Revelation chapter 6. And we see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Now either that we would have to fast forward to the Battle of Armageddon, or this is the first phase of the Second Coming. After all, how many appearances of Jesus Christ does the Bible record in Scripture? There's the coming back for the church, and the coming back with the church. That's all I read in the Bible. He's coming back for the church, take us out of here, and then we're coming back at the end of the 70th week. This is not the end of the 70th week, obviously. It's the sixth seal. The tribulation's cut short, so it doesn't continue on to the end of the 70th week. So sometime before the end of the 70th week, but immediately after a time of great tribulation, Christ shall appear in the heavens. And immediately after that event, we see a multitude in heaven Is that just a coincidence? That we see a great multitude in heaven of every kindred, people, and tongue? And he said, these are they who came out of great tribulation. Therefore, they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, the second gospel writer, I'm going to try to finish up here just about 10 minutes. In the book of Luke, or in the book of Mark, rather, Mark 13 in verse 19, the second gospel writer recorded these words, "For in those days shall be affliction." That's the same word, thalipsis, which is translated tribulation elsewhere. "For in those days shall be affliction," or tribulation, "such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be." Now, this usage of the word tribulation is once again intimately linked to the abomination of desolation. And there's a warning here in Mark 13:14 to flee. When? In the middle of the 70th week. Now, it goes on in verse 24, "But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light." So we see here the association with of the great tribulation and Daniel's 70th week, and the coming of the Lord. Of the four accounts in the New Testament, in the Gospels, which exactly parallels, it leaves no room for doubt. Of the four times the Lord spoke of tribulation in a prophetic context, he was speaking of in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, precisely 3.5 years into it. So to say the tribulation period, and to use that designation as referring to the entire 70th week, is not biblical, because it is clear that it begins with the setting up of the image, amen, in the middle of the week. And in each instance where the great tribulation is used in a prophetic setting, it refers to the persecution of God's elect by wicked men, and not to the wrath of God or the judgment of God toward men. It is not God persecuting his people. God will not persecute his people. Amen. But it is the wrath of man, the wrath of Satan against God's church. Then the Bible says in Revelation 7, it speaks of great tribulation. Here once again, the adjective great is found, and the reference is to the great tribulation. And those that are persecuted are the elect of God. So in a prophetic context, it is used to describe only the period of time which begins in the middle of the 70th week, never in the first half of it. You get that part? Never is it ever used of the first half of the 70th week. So it is indisputable that the entire 70th week cannot be referred to as the tribulation period any more than we can refer to any other period in time as tribulation. That there are times that the church is in tribulation now. There are people that are in tribulation. There have been times in the past in church history where there was great distress, where there was great pressure in the church, where there were many martyrs. But we can't refer to that period of time as the tribulation period. When we refer to great tribulation in a prophetic context, it's always in association with the middle of the 70th week, and it is cut short before the fulfillment of the 70th week, because of the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. I'm glad that God is merciful. Amen. He said, you will not have gone over all of the cities of Israel. Amen. Until I come back. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trial, in the midst, amen, of their travail, amen, they shall have a deliverer. Amen. For he shall come back, amen, to deliver his people. For we are not appointed unto wrath, but we're appointed to salvation. Amen. I'm glad that I'm looking for him to come again, to take me out. Amen. Because I know that what is coming on the world, just as it was, I'm going to close right now, if the musicians would come. Amen. Lot and his family, amen, were saved because of God's grace. Amen. They were the only ones counted worthy to escape the judgment of God upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah had come up before God, and it repented God, amen, because of the great wickedness. And he determined to destroy those wicked cities, amen, because they would not repent. But the same day that God rescued Lot and his family, he rained fire and brimstone upon the cities of the plain. The same day that God caused Noah and his family to enter into the ark in safety, amen, he sent rain, amen, upon the earth in judgment. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and the fountains of the deep were opened up, and the earth was covered with water. But Noah and his family, amen, were rescued. Why? Because God, amen, is a Savior. And it's not his will that any should perish. Amen. If you're not on the ark, amen, it's time that you got, amen, made yourself ready. It's time to enter in, to come to that place of safety, because our redemption draweth nigh. Even the Bible tells us, when you see the armies surrounding Jerusalem, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. He's coming again. Praise God. Would you stand and lift your hands, and let's praise the Lord together.